You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Jason Day at last wins his first career major, claiming the USPGA title with a record-breaking score.
The experiences that I've had in the past with previous major finishes has definitely helped me prepare myself for, you know, a moment like this. And to be able to walk up the 18th hole and finish the way I did, I mean, it was just a lot of emotion that came out of me, and it's good to be a major champion.
We'll hear more from the Australian in a few moments' time. He finished three strokes ahead of Jordan Spieth, whose runner-up spot means that he's now the world's new number one.
By far the best loss I think I've ever had. I played solid golf, and Jason didn't miss enough shots. It was his day. He played like a champion, and he fully deserved this win.
A full review of the USPGA is on the way with the help of our man in Wisconsin, Bob Bubka, and we'll look ahead to the next stage in the Race to Dubai, the Made in Denmark event being held in the town of Farsø in North Denmark. Hello from me, Dan Roebuck, and I'm joined this week by Richard Boxall. Boxy, how are you?
Not too bad. I was up late, obviously, last night watching the finish of the USPGA, and I would have to say, Jason Day, a well-worthy winner, and it's been coming, you have to say, with the way he's playing in the majors this year.
Yeah, they've got progressively better from just outside the top 25 in the Masters to just inside the top 10 in the US Open, just outside the top 5 in the Open, and at last for Jason Day, a win at the USPGA. As you say, it had been coming.
Definitely been coming. And, you know, no worse score than 68. Fantastic course. To amateurs, it was quite a frightening sort of view when you put the TV on because of those 1,000 bunkers that were there. I mean, a lot of them were for intimidation factor for ams. You know, they didn't come into play for a lot of the pros. But if you got a little bit offline, you got into a terrible mess. You could get some really awkward bunker shots, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But I thought the course was in brilliant condition. It looked great. There were some magnificent holes running alongside of the coast. It was a week where I thought, if you can stay one ahead of Jordan Spieth, you'll pick up the Wanamaker Trophy. And he didn't stay one ahead. He stayed three. Yeah, but Spieth is an incredible player. Again, a magnificent performance from him.
Were you surprised by the winning score? 20 under?
Yes, I was. Normally, I would have thought it would be something like sort of 14, 15 under. But his scores of 68, 67, 66 and 67, you know, you shoot something like that, no one's going to pass you, are they? He deserved every bit of it. He drove the ball really well, Dan. That was the thing, you know. And OK, if he did hit a little bit offline, maybe he got a reasonable lie. But, you know, if it's your day, it's your day. Or if it's your week, it's your week.
It's interesting you talk about the driving, because we know that Jason Day is massive off the tee. His average over the final round, 307 yards off the tee, 19 more than Jordan Spieth. What does that do when they're playing together in the final round as a major?
Well, actually, if anything, it plays into Spieth's hands a little bit because he's hitting first into the greens. You couldn't stop Jason Day the way he played. He was just, you know, it was one of those ones, again, it was interesting to watch, but from about the fifth or the sixth onwards, you never really thought anybody else was going to win.
Well, I'm pleased to say that American golf commentator Bob Bubka is back on the Race to Dubai show from Wisconsin. Bob, what did you make of Day's success in the USPGA Championship?
Well, I felt it was long overdue and certainly justified. Jason Day has been right near the top of the crop for quite a long time. He's an ideal person off the golf course. I admire him as a husband, a father, and certainly on the golf course. He's a wonderful example of everything that's good about golf. It was a heck of a week. I had mixed emotions about the fact that scoring record was set 20 under par to win a major championship. I personally, and it's just me speaking, I like a little sterner test. I don't like to see that many birdies and eagles. You know, this was a golf course that guys were hitting on par fives, drivers, and nine irons. And that just doesn't ring true with me.
Bob, you mentioned the record score 20 under. When Martin Kaymer and Bubba Watson went to a playoff 5 years ago, the score was 11 under. What has changed? Why has it got easier, do you think, this time around?
Well, this time there was less wind than there was in 2010. And this golf course had to be designed with wind in mind. But then when you take a golf course that's designed for wind, and there is no wind, then it plays really easy. And it certainly played a lot easier this time around. The players are a little bit better. The golf ball went a little further. And that is understandable because normally the temperature would have been around 70 degrees here on the shores of Lake Michigan. This year, it was near 90 degrees. Heat in the air just makes the golf ball go that much further. And and these players took full advantage of that.
Well, Jason Day started the final round with a two-stroke lead. Boxy, he made four birdies before his first blip at the eighth hole. He got off to the perfect start, didn't he?
He did, yeah, and that's what you got to do. You know, I say it week in and week out, but you've got to answer a few questions early on, and he certainly, you know, up and down something, hole a decent putt, knock it on the odd fairway, play a decent recovery shot. That's what he did, and he did have a blip on the eighth, but, you know, he's around 68, 67, 66, 67 at the weekend. That's basically what he did in the last day, is what he did every day.
Well, of course, it wasn't Spieth that got closest to Jason Day. It was Brandon Grace, who moved to within a shot of the leader after a birdie at the seventh, but then Boxy, a disastrous double at the tenth.
Yes, that doesn't help you. That sort of takes the wind out your sails straight away. But Brandon Grace, you know, a multiple winner on the European Tour. I think he's just underneath somebody like Jordan Spieth or a Jason Day, really. He got close. He got lucky in the end. He finished five adrift of him. But I think Brandon Grace will go on to win majors, I would have to say.
And Bob, a word on Justin Rose's performance, because I know he's won this year, but he seems to be throwing in these poor rounds, poor final rounds that take him out of contention. A double bogey on 13 pretty much made his challenge falter. What do you make of Justin Rose over the course of the summer?
Well, I think Justin Rose has been incredible. Wonderful appearances in all the majors. Rose had to attack, and this golf course doesn't lend itself to you really attacking when you have to. You have to let it come to you. But Justin Rose is a quality player, finished in the top 10 in all four majors. I mean, that speaks volumes. He's won, obviously, in 2013, won the U.S. Open at Marion. He's in that mix right now, you know, and that mixing bowl that we have of great talent is getting bigger and bigger. And right now, it is as talent-laden as I've ever seen it.
Well, Jason Day was the real deal in Wisconsin, and he feels that if he'd also let this opportunity pass him by, it would have had serious consequences on his golfing career.
I think it would have been tough for me to kind of come back from a major championship such as this if I didn't finish it off, knowing that I had the 54-hole lead or tied for the 54-hole lead for the last three majors, and not being able to finish it would have been tough for me mentally to really kind of come back from that. I would have gone, maybe I can't really finish it off. But there are a lot of trying times out there for me. And to be able to hit a great drive down 16, I hit 4-iron into the green. So I had plenty of club there. But, you know, after seeing what Jordan did, to be able to hold him off, knowing that he's going to be the best player in the world now, the way I played, it felt great. I had no idea about the record until after it was over. So for me to be able to get to 20 under par and hold that record currently is really amazing. I mean, some of the names I'd never thought I'd be able to put my name with. I just can't think of it. I mean, it really is just something that I haven't been able to sit down and just kind of absorb and really kind of cherish. And I'm hoping it sticks around for a long time, because I would like to have that record for a long time.
Well, the win comes after real setbacks at previous majors this year. Vertigo, of course, at the US Open. Boxy, that missed putt on 18 in the final round at St Andrews, which meant he didn't make the playoff at the Open Championship.
Yeah, that would be disappointing for him. But, you know, again, he's knocking on the door. He's young. He's going to win plenty of tournaments. Well, he has won plenty of tournaments, but he'll win a few more majors, I would think.
Well, Day's first major in his 21st major appearance. His final score of 20 under par breaks Tiger Woods' major record of 19 under at the 2000 Open Championship. Also, Day is only the 13th player in history to win a major with four rounds in the 60s. He moves to number three in the world, which means the top four are all under 27 years of age and have won five of the last six majors. Well, he didn't win, but yet another very impressive performance by Jordan Spieth at Whistling Straits with a final score of 17 under to earn him second spot, which, as mentioned earlier, means that he's the new world number one.
I played 11 under on the weekend off of the tough draw the first 2 days and still had a chance to really win. And I still provided some opportunities to maybe put pressure on at the end. And he just shut the door. I mean, he was sitting there swinging as hard as he could off the tee, and every single drive was right down the middle of the fairway. I think he missed two shots today, and he made two bogeys off that, but the ones that he capitalized on were good enough. I mean, the fact that I would have had to shoot 8-under this weekend to win, if you told me that when the week started, I'd have told you that I missed the cut. So ultimately, a lot of positives come out of today. To be number one in the world as a team, this is fantastic, and certainly was a lifelong goal of mine, and that was accomplished today.
Bob, I want to ask you a question. Is the chat going around now on the tour about Jordan Spieth, who finished second, in the direction of, you know, that if you can stay one ahead of Jordan Spieth, you're actually going to win this event?
No.
It is in my head.
Well, then you're as guilty as the people that I've been talking a lot about Jordan Spieth this week. That we're making all these statements about Jordan Spieth is way too small. Did he have an unbelievable year in 2015? Absolutely, yes. But listening to other radio announcers, one went so far as to say, well, he's definitely now the next Tiger Woods. I mean, I almost fell off my chair. And then I heard constantly, well, it's his mind. That's why he's better than everybody else right now. His mind is super strong. Well, his mind wasn't super strong yesterday. He did nothing that could rattle Jason Day. And Day hit it further, hit it better, putted better, and goes on to victory. So Jordan Spieth is a phenomenal young talent. But years ago, we would put Jordan Spieth in the oven and we would see how it would come out. Nowadays, they put Jordan Spieth in the microwave. And they take it out too soon and make all these comments. You know, when you're around this game for a while, you don't like instant things. I don't like the fact that people are saying he's more than he is. Let's enjoy him for what he is. He had an unbelievable season, contended in all four majors, won half of them. Great job by Jordan Spieth. But let's slow down on he's the next Tiger Woods, and he's got the strongest mind in golf. I just want to put the brakes on some of that attitude.
Spieth knocking McIlroy off world number one spot. The Irishman carded two sub-70 rounds at the weekend to finish on 3 under par in Wisconsin, leaving him 17th on the leaderboard, which he admits wasn't a bad effort after that injury last month.
With the conditions that we faced on the first day and the conditions that we faced today, anything I thought, you know, between 10 and 15 under would have had a great chance to win, but obviously, you know, the standard is just so high, you know, at the minute in these days that, you know, I didn't see, you know, close to 20 under par winning this tournament. But, you know, I guess for myself, you know, if I'm looking at it as a whole, I feel like I've done well to come back and shoot the scores that I have. You know, I feel like I, you know, progressed each and every day of considering what 6 weeks ago I wasn't able to walk. It's not a bad effort.
Rory McIlroy on his performance box seat wasn't a bad effort given the injury, given he hadn't played since the US Open.
No, I thought it was fine performance to finish. I thought he was going to do well to make the cut. In fact, I thought he was going to do well to play the tournament. I didn't think, you know, from the injury he had, I didn't think he'd be coming back until January next year. But obviously, you know, he's had great physio on it, but obviously it wasn't as bad as a few people were making out.
Were you surprised, Bob, that Rory played? And if so, were you surprised how well he did or otherwise?
Well, you know, I got a pretty good indication that he was going to play when he played that practice round this Saturday before the PGA Championship. And people that saw him on the golf course that he didn't seem to be having any ill effects from that ankle. Showed up, practiced on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and seemed perfectly fine. You know, he's young. He's healthy, and medical science has evolved so much. They have ways of treating injuries. I think when Richard Boxall was playing and broke his leg, I think he was out 3 years healing or something.
Mentally, Bob, I was out forever. But I mean, I'll tell you, I was out for 10 months. And the other thing about it, Bob, you know, if you injure yourself doing something other than golf, you know, I did it hitting a ball, so you're going to be a bit wary coming back. He did it playing football, so he hasn't actually created his injury through playing golf. A little like Phil Mickelson broke both legs, but he did it skiing. I think if you have an injury from playing your own sport, then I think you can be in a little bit of trouble when you come back to play, only from personal experience. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and, you know, that really is a great point, and nobody mentioned that at all. But I tell you what it does, beyond any question of a doubt, it puts Rory McIlroy right smack in the middle of the mix as we go forward to 2016 and what a year it is with the Olympics going to be contested next year. We got the Ryder Cup, and to have all these young players playing such magnificent golf, it's going to be incredible. I believe that Rory McIlroy losing number one is going to make him hungrier. You know, I know how hard he practices. I bet he even, you know, will work at it even a little bit more Then Jordan Spieth's going to have to deal with the pressure of being number one. That's going to make it harder on him.
Lots of headlines, lots of stories over the course of the week at Wisconsin. Bob, one or two that we're going to throw at you, and Boxy as well. First of all, what did you make of the incident, Bob, involving Bubba Watson and a match official? They get rather heated, their exchange, when Bubba's ball moved towards an anthill and he couldn't move it away from the pesky fellows.
Well, John Paramore was the rules official, and he made a decision that he wasn't entitled to a relief. You know, you don't get every call going in your favor. I have to believe, you know, with the reputation of John Paramore, that, you know, he made the right call under the circumstances that he was guided by. He even consulted with somebody on his two-way radio just to make sure. There's nothing wrong in asking a rules official for relief in certain situations. That's what they're there for. But if they rule not in your favor, you just have to take it and move on.
Foxy, apparently, ants are not considered burrowing animals. That's why
you
can get any relief.
Well, mind you,
they're not burrowing animals.
You don't argue with John Paramore.
Dustin Johnson became the first player since 1934 to shoot 66 or better in the opening round of a major three times in a single season. Boxy, he's been starting well but not finishing the job.
No, he looks like he's going to win, doesn't he? Every time he pegs it up in that first round, he still had a top 10 finish. I mean, you know, he can't moan. But, you know, Dustin, especially around this course, I mean, he's had his chances. I mean, he was incredibly unlucky. Was it 2010 when he grounded his club?
Yeah.
I mean, and now that's covered by a hospitality marquee.
Indeed.
I mean, he must be absolutely gutted about that. But no, he's had his chances. You've got to say the chance at the US Open was unbelievable. I couldn't believe he three-whacked that last hole.
But he's thrown four away now.
Yeah, he has, you know, and it would be hurting him. Big star. I still think he'll win one, to be quite honest. You know, it's another good finish. And there were some good performances from other players as well. You know, Anirban Lahiri, OK, he's won twice this year on the European Tour. Brilliant performance from the Indian. George Kutsia was another good performance. And Brooks Koepka, who's who is the real deal, has finished 13 under. I know it was seven behind, but it's, you know, top five finish. Another good week for Koepka.
Some of the big names who missed the cut: Shane Lowry, who of course was successful in Akron, Bernd Wiesberger, Pablo Larrazabal, Graham McDowell, Ian Poulter, Joost Luiten, Adam Scott, Tongchai Jaide, Alexander Levy, all failed to play on the weekend. But of course, the biggest name to miss the cut was Tiger Woods, who had this to say after a round of 75 and then 73.
One of the worst putting rounds I've had in a very long time, but I hit it good today, so that's about it. I just had to feel it all for the speed. It was awful. Speed determines line, so that was off. Well, the good news is I had complete control of the golf ball, even with these conditions, as it got tougher. I was able to control it, and I just never felt like I had the speed right. Even if I dumped the ball, you know, in the center of the green, or I had some makeable putts straight up the gut, they still were off. They were either getting chewed up by the green or I was blowing it through. So I definitely need to somehow find the speed better.
Bob, apparently Tiger Woods has got full control of the golf ball.
Oh, boy. What Tiger Woods right now, unfortunately, has complete control of is his playbook of reasons that he can give after he finishes on why he didn't do well. I had an opportunity to have a conversation with Tiger on the putting green on Wednesday, and he told me flat out that he is just working as hard as he possibly can. He says, "I'm not getting the results yet. It's a lot harder than I thought it would ever be." And I said to him, "Tiger, what about shutting it down and not playing anymore this year and then come back fresh next year?" And he said, "Bob, I can't do that. I have worldwide commitments that I have to honor." You know, when you get huge appearance money, you don't want to go down there and shoot two rounds and not be around for the weekend. Although Tiger Woods now officially becomes one of the great trivia questions. Who's the only player ever to play the weekend in back-to-back majors and never make the cut? And it's Tiger Woods. He plays in the Open Championship, does not get to complete his second round, so has to play on Saturday, and doesn't make the cut. Then he comes to the PGA Championship. Weather moves in on Friday. Tiger doesn't get to complete his second round. He plays on Saturday, doesn't make the cut. That is extremely hard to do, play on weekends without making the cut if you're in the world of professional golf.
Richard, can we have the top 10 from the 97th US PGA Championship?
Tied in 10th was Tony Finau, who looked a very good player to me. Robert Streb, also tied 10th. And then we go 12 under par, Dustin Johnson. 12 under also Matt Kuchar, George Kurtsia. And then tied for 5th was Brooks Koepka, also with Anirban Lahiri, two-time winner on this tour over here on the European Tour this season. Justin Rose was 4th. 3rd was Brandon Grace at 15 under. 17 under Jordan Spieth. But the worthy winner, Jason Day, 20 under par, wins by 3.
And that has had an impact on the world's top 10, hasn't it, Boxy?
It certainly has, yes. Sergio Garcia's 10th. Henrik Stenson is 9th. Ricky Fowler, 8th. 7th, Dustin Johnson. Jim Furyk is 6th. Justin Rose is 5th. Bubba Watson's 4th. But Jason Day now comes in to number 3. Rory McIlroy is knocked off the top. He's number 2. So that leaves Jordan Spieth leading the way.
The selections from last week, and Boxy, feel free to comment on the star names that are in the chair a week ago. Robert Lee went for Henrik Stenson, who tied for 25th, 5 under, and Jordan Spieth, who was, of course, 2nd. Gordon Brand Jr., Bubba Watson and Danny Willett, 21st and 54th, respectively.
Yes, and Bob Bunker was Matt Kuchar, tied 7th at minus 12, and Rory McIlroy, 17th. On minus 9. So well done, Bob.
Yeah, I reckon,
top 20.
Yeah, I reckon Bob's come out best of the trio, so. Bob. Well done.
Well, thank you. Every victory is a big one.
Great to have you on the show, as per usual. We'll let you get some well-deserved rest, and we'll speak again soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on, and you guys are the best.
Of course, Jason Day wasn't the only winner at the weekend. Gordon07 won the Fantasy Race to Dubai game this week. His team, captained by Brandon Grace, won over 2.7 million points. He wisely picked 6 players that finished in the top 25 at Whistling Straits. As for the overall Fantasy Race to Dubai, Gareth Clayton remains top of the leaderboard. Gareth's team is the only team to amass over 28 million points so far this season. The Fantasy Race to Dubai game continues this week at the Made in Denmark event. Be sure to log on to My European Tour online to see this week's Fantasy 5 to watch. Richard, can we have the top 10 Race to Dubai standings, please?
You certainly can. Henrik Stenson is 10th. Ben Ann is 9th. 8th is Anirban Lahiri. Bernd Wiesberger, 7th. 6th is Shane Lowry. Brandon Grace is 5th. 4th is Justin Rose. 3rd is Louis Oosthuizen. 2nd is Danny Willett. But still leading the way is Rory McIlroy.
Elsewhere, Dominic Foos became the youngest ever winner in the history of the Challenge Tour by claiming the Gant Open with a 3-stroke victory. The German, aged just 17 years, 347 days, fired a 4-under-par 67 on Sunday to win ahead of, amongst others, Jose Manuel Lara, who equaled the course record that day at Ora Golf Club in Turku, Finland, with a 64. The youngest Challenge Tour winner record was previously held by Francis Valera, who was more than a year older than Foos when he won in Switzerland in 1993. We'll discuss this year's events in a moment, but it's been announced that the qualification process for the players hoping to be in the next European Ryder Cup team will conclude at next year's Made in Denmark competition, which will take place a month before the biennial contest against the USA. The year-long qualification race begins next month at the M2M Russian Open. And finally, the Rio Olympics means that the WGC Bridgestone event won't be able to appear on the European Tour calendar next year. The event has been moved forward by the PGA because of the Olympic Games, where golf will feature for the first time in 112 years. But the June dates clashed with the French Open at Le Golf National, an event which is celebrating its 100th staging next year. So on to this week's action at the Made in Denmark event at Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort in Farsø, Denmark. It took place for the first time in the Race to Dubai last year and earned rave reviews from the players who took part. They drew crowds of more than 82,000 over the 4 days, and huge numbers are expected there again this week.
It is a fantastic event. 16th hole is a nice little cheeky little hole. It's a very high bank there. It's not a lot. It only plays like a wedge or a 9-iron, depending where the wind is, but if there's no wind, it's only that. And you get lots of spin on the balls, and you can tuck the pin away in tight little spots, but you've got a great chance there of maybe knocking it in for a hole in one. And there's huge, massive crowds get round that green. It's a great event. I think it was fantastic. You know, Made in Denmark, what a brilliant idea that is as well, for, you know, for the title name of the tournament. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm doing the Czech Republic the week after as well, so I'm looking forward to these next 2 weeks.
And of course, Mark Warren is defending, Boxy.
He is, and that round he shot on Saturday, he shot 66 in an absolute howling gale. It was actually almost as good as breaking 60. It was a brilliant performance. It was such difficult, tough conditions, and Mark Warren held his head together, held his game together, and played some fantastic shots in an incredibly strong wind.
Are the elements the course's biggest defence, do you think?
I think so, yes, because it's a pleasant course
playable.
To play. Very playable, but it does need a bit of breeze. It does definitely need a little bit of breeze, and it's quite open there as well. So, you know, it's not like the breeze doesn't come in. I think it'll probably be breezy-ish all week.
Good solid European Tour field as well, Rockup.
Yeah, nowadays, you know, week in, week out, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, you get a good field wherever you go. You've got the likes of Kelson, Thomas Bjorn. You know, Kelson's having a great season. Finally, at the age of 40, life begins at 40. David Lipsky, not as good for him so far this season, but Mark Warren again is moving along nicely. Henny Otto's playing. To Bjørn Olesen, you would expect to see something from the Dane fairly soon. I mean, he's had one decent finish this year, finished second in Mauritius. Other than that, he's missed so many cuts, which is incredible because he's a brilliant player.
I think he might get inspired this week because he played well there 12 months ago. So I'm going to tip up Olesen to go a little bit better. I think he's inside the top five.
Is that going to be your tip?
That's going to be my selection. What's yours?
Is it? I'll tell you who I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for the defending champion, Mark Warren. I think he might well just pick this one off. Okay, finished just inside the top 50 last week. USPGA, but he is due another win, I think.
Well, that's your lot for now. Next week, we'll review Made in Denmark and preview the D&D Real Czech Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Do join us next week. But for now, from Richard Boxall and myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye.